Hey, neighborhood, your feedback and support goes a long way in helping NAI grow and provide the ultimate wrestling fan experience.
That's right, and now there's even more ways to take part in the community.
Just head to patreon.com today and search for New Age Insiders.
Everyone is loving their rewards, and new exclusive content is coming all the time.
And with plans starting as low as $2 a month, any support is appreciated and goes a long way towards enhancing the New Age Insiders experience.
Once again, visit patreon.com, search New Age Insiders, and take advantage of the new rewards today.
Is this on?
And now, coming to you live on NewAgeInsiders.com,
we are the premier place for wrestling fans to connect, discuss, and to be heard.
Please welcome Jason Maltoff.
We watch wrestling to enjoy. If you're not enjoying it, why are you watching?
Liam Stryker.
If I told you once, I told you 1,000 times. Storytelling, storytelling, storytelling.
And Bill Neville.
Unpredictability is the answer. When wrestling's unpredictable, it's at its best.
Get ready.
This is Warbeard Hansen.
This is Johnny Mundo.
This is Donovan Dijak.
Say hello to the bad guy, Scott Hall.
This is Mean Gene Okerlund.
This is Zack Ryder.
Hey, this is Cody Rhodes.
Hi, this is Howard Finkel.
Hi, this is good old JR Jim Ross.
I'm Bill Goldberg, and the New Age Insiders are next.
So this is the first time we've ever done one of these.
And we made good time?
It's surprising.
This show is
shocking.
WrestleMania is less than an hour old and we're on the air.
Right.
Thank you so much for joining the New Age Insiders Live. And really, guys, thank you sincerely for joining us all weekend long. We hope that NAI Mania 4 has lived up to your expectations. We personally think this is the best trip we've ever taken, and we really hope that that translated throughout the weekend.
We met so many new people. Like, not like new people like we've never met them before, but like new online people.
Exactly. Like, honestly, getting a chance to meet Max and hang out with Rob and spend WrestleMania with him, and how much we love that guy. And just, we saw Mike. We saw Main Event Swerve. Yeah. But I'm going to forget people that I met for the first time, so forgive me.
Yeah, see, I always just say, let's just, the generalities,
there's
you know who you are.
There's a really strong chance you're smarter than me, so it makes a lot of sense. It's just, it was just really great to see everybody go to lunch, really do the NAI experience right, and what a weekend we had. Between the Hall of Fame, Liam and I were lucky enough to be on the red carpet for the WWE Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
I know, Bill. Well, if you could have come, we would have absolutely wanted
Here's the thing, man.
I know.
You had the option.
It was my choice.
You just had to buy clothes.
Guess what, guys? We have 365 days to be good enough to go next year.
More of you Patreons in now. You could buy me an outfit.
Exactly. Sure. But it was an unbelievable experience to be Goldberg's personal guest at the Hall of Fame and be on the red carpet and live that life and maybe have a once-in-a-lifetime experience. I don't know, even if we go to the Hall of Fame again and sit...
We're never going to sit there.
I don't think we'll ever be the headliner's personal guest.
Yeah,
is that
Well, I was saying this to Chip when we were walking around. I said the closest thing we'll ever be is if Dijak got in.
Yeah, right. And you know what? I'd like to think that he might.
Or the War Raiders.
Yeah.
Or the War Raiders.
Sure, there we go. We'll figure it out. But again, a huge weekend NXT TakeOver. And if you guys didn't get a chance to catch up with what we've got going on, it's all available on NewAgeInsiders.com, on Twitter, obviously, on Twitch and on Periscope. All these things are archived. We were live before and after TakeOver from the building.
Yes.
We were live before and after WrestleMania. Certainly before was our big tailgate.
Before the pre-show on Periscope.
There you go. But let's jump in. Let's just get right to it. WrestleMania 34 is in the books. I will go out there and say it. This is my opinion. I might reflect and think differently in the morning, but I am going to say it anyway. I do believe that WrestleMania 34 will go down as a top three WrestleMania ever and might be the best WrestleMania of them all. And let me explain before people jump down my throat and say things like 17 and 14 and 30, which are great WrestleManias. I mean, that's the thing. What I want to do as a wrestling fan is not have to crap on good things to shine up what I believe are better things.
Right, yeah.
WrestleMania 30 is not bad. I just think that WrestleMania 34 is better.
Correct.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like, it's so it doesn't have to be a matter of burying the other good stuff. It's just a matter of, you know, like, in theory, there is a worst Beatles album.
Yeah, right.
You know,
right,
I mean? It's a bad album. It just, in theory, it is technically the worst.
Yeah, what is it? Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Heart Club and then the Yellow Submarine?
Sgt. Pepper's is widely considered their best.
Right, so, and then like, Yellow Submarine is below that.
Sure, I'm a big Rubber Soul fan. Rubber Soul's a great album.
See, here's the thing. I don't know anything about the Beatles.
But it doesn't matter. So what I'm saying is, so let me just explain this before we jump in. And the calls are open. 508-202-1624. We're live for a reason. 508-202-1624. Let me just explain really quick why I believe 34 will go down as the best Russell WrestleMania of them all is because, as we've heard from Jamie Jim Mikowski, as we've heard from a lot of people that we've had the opportunity to meet in the pro wrestling business, WrestleMania has almost never, as weird as this sounds, never intended to be an outstanding wrestling show.
Right.
It's meant to be an entertainment palooza, the best live event, get celebrities, get music, get wrestling, get, basically when you think of entertainment, what do you think about? You know, celebrities, music, and athletics. And Vince McMahon tries to cram them all into one event.
Right.
And it's never prioritized itself to me as necessarily, as weird as this might sound, as a wrestling show.
Yeah.
And what this had was Shinsuke Nakamura versus AJ Styles. If you didn't love that match, blame them. Not they made they booked it. WWE booked it.
Right.
You can blame AJ and Nakamura. You don't want to. You can somehow blame Vince if you thought that was underwhelming, but they booked it. I thought that literally, yeah. I thought that the Intercontinental title match set the pace.
It did.
The fact that Charlotte won the way she did was amazing.
Yep. Ronda Rousey silenced a bunch of her critics tonight.
Holy crap. That girl went from having what I thought was the worst match, would be the worst match of the night, to maybe the best.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
It was tough to have more fun.
Oh, that was definitely the most fun match of the night.
So Brock Lesnar shocks you.
Yeah.
Charlotte surprises you in a pleasant way.
Right. Nia Jax and Alexa Bliss was far better than expectations.
Keyboard warriors must be psyched about Nia Jax.
Yep.
Right? You know, then there's the Jinder Mahal decisions and stuff, but the match wasn't bad, and we need heels. I mean, wrestling
right.
needs bad guys.
Right. Well, you said it in the pre-show. You said... I think you said Alexa Bliss was going to win because we can't have all the faces. We're proud out of it.
Sure.
And from that point, they started chanting nonsense.
This is awful, CM Punk. All the things you don't want to hear.
Everybody that had a secret beach ball pulled out a secret beach ball.
Unbelievable. It went from zero beach balls to 10 beach balls
right.
in a minute.
And what I want to believe is that, and that wasn't planned. The plan was, when this show gets bad, I'm going to release the beach balls.
Yep.
And a bunch of people had those thoughts. And Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar, that's what ended up happening. Because it became infuriating, at least to me.
Oh, I was nauseated.
It became infuriating to watch the beach balls while Brock Lesnar is systematically destroying Roman Reigns, and I can't enjoy it because I'm annoyed at the beach balls, and I know that Roman Reigns is going to kick out.
Right, and they got us. But they got a big picture.
Right,
but not
right.
for the first five of them.
But again, look at like... Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa last night, mm-hmm. right? We knew, at least more certain than not, that Tommaso Ciampa was going to lose because Johnny Gargano needed to get his job back, right? That's what, that you know, going in, we knew. But every single time that Tommaso hit one of the real false finishes, you believed that he would win.
Sure.
And so you can have a match that you're invested in when you know the outcome. Yeah. That's what storytelling does. But everybody hates Roman Reigns.
I understand what you say. So here's the thing that needs to be said. So if you're the biggest Roman Reigns fan in the world, I hope that you keep listening, and I hope you understand that we're trying to be impartial, just like we need to have a conversation based on facts and not
right.
simply opinions. We were there. We were in that building, and not to be a dick, but if you weren't, don't tell me I'm wrong. Neither guy in that main event were popular.
No.
So you would think what WWE's goal, I have to think, was, we know how you feel about Reigns, at least
right.
the vocal minority, which I just don't believe the second word is true, but the vocal minority isn't
right.
going to be into this, right? And so we're just going to make you hate Brock more.
Right.
And we're going to make him a part-timer, and we're going to have, you know, he's going to no-show, and
yeah.
then don't send Brock Lesnar to, And that didn't happen.
Right.
Because people in that audience didn't go, well, by default, I'll get behind Reigns.
Right.
That didn't happen.
No.
They wanted,
one point, they chanted, they both suck.
The crowd wanted both of these guys to run headfirst into each other, and the ref would have to call for the bell because they're both incapacitated.
Correct.
They didn't want anybody to win.
No.
It wasn't about Roman. It wasn't about Brock. Like, I tweeted it out, and people, you know, want... Somebody give Seth Rollins a briefcase. This is pro
right.
wrestling. Come up with a gimmick that gets us out of this.
Right.
And I don't think
that's tomorrow, but that's neither here nor there.
If, and I, because I completely agree with you, and I understand your vantage point, if I had known... Because I think when we rewatch it, we'll feel differently.
Yes.
If I had known Brock was just going to win,
right.
like Cena,
yeah.
you know what I mean?
Yep.
Because I expected, like, remember in SummerSlam 14, when Cena locked in that STF after,
right.
like, the 15th suplex? I was like, holy shit, Cena's going to win. And then he didn't.
Right. And that was different. And because now, looking back at it, I feel like if I rewatch it on TV, that's how I'm going to feel watching it. But the issue was is that I sat in a crowd at the main event of this show.
Correct.
And I watched the entire, the rest of the audience that I was a part of cannibalize this main event.
Yep.
And I'm not even telling you that you have to be into it and be an attentive person, but you're not paying attention, your beach balls, your CM Punk chants, that's taking away from this
experience. Absolutely agree.
And that's making me upset.
If you're a Roman Reigns fan, and a big one, you should be, I know this might sound crazy, and we're going to take our first call because we see it. You should be optimistic, Liam, about what happened tonight.
Yeah.
You know why?
Yeah.
You know why?
Why?
Because what happened to the average general audience fan that might not be a Roman Reigns fan or hater, one of those people that's just like us, that's just like, I'm going to watch this show and I hope that people don't keep booing, right? If you're a Roman Reigns either hater or indifferent, right? What you found out maybe was, well, now you actually know how you feel when he loses.
Right.
He never does. Not when it comes to the finish line.
Right.
I know you're going to tell me that his win-loss record is what it is, and he does lose on pay-per-view more than any top guy ever.
Correct.
Got to give him credit. But what you now found out was, oh, here comes Roman. Eye roll. He's going to win. I hate it. But he didn't. Well, now, how do you feel about that?
Right.
Do you actually secretly go, hey, son of a bitch, I actually would have preferred he won.
Yeah.
And now, maybe you don't give him so much hate and boos on the live programming because, look at that. I did in my gut. Well, you know, it reminded me of, as weird as this sounds, Ember Moon and Asuka at TakeOver SummerSlam when we went to.
Right.
I didn't know who I was wanted to win.
But when Asuka won.
I felt good about it.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so I know that that's what I wanted. Right. Now, with Roman Reigns and all that,
right.
Now you know. And hey, maybe you don't feel any differently. Maybe you hate him more. But maybe, just maybe, we actually figured out a way to garner some sympathy for this guy.
The thing that I'm looking... My biggest reaction with this Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar finish is we were told that this was going to settle the score.
Yep.
And the score is now settled.
Brock won.
And Brock won. Yep. And I have no idea where we're going.
Really?
And that's exciting.
I want to make a note. I just want to say it out loud without expanding on the point. Roman Reigns got crapped on all weekend.
Yep.
Goldberg crapped on him. I think Jared poked fun at him. Paul Heyman, Liam, you were there. We were there.
We were
30 yards away.
I could have thrown a paper ball to him.
We could have. Paul Heyman said in a shoot,
yes,
inducting Goldberg, he goes, I needed to bring in a guy to beat Brock Lesnar. So we're shooting.
Yes,
Scripted wins and losses. Yep. And he goes, I needed to bring in a guy that could beat Brock Lesnar, and you would believe it. And that definitely wasn't Roman Reigns. And it's like, that's a work if Reigns winds up winning.
Yeah, right.
That's a total shoot 100% of the way. I think that Roman Reigns' stock, is he still going to get in the Hall of Fame and win a bunch of titles? Yes. But I think the tide is shifting with him a little bit, and I think Raw is going to be fascinating. 508-202-1624, 508-202, 1NAI. Who we got?
Alex in Rhode Island gave us a call. What's up, Alex?
What's going on, fellas?
What's up, Alex? What do you think of WrestleMania 34?
I was a big fan of it, actually. I enjoyed pretty much the whole show.
What was your big takeaway? What do you think about Brock Lesnar winning? What is your what are your big takeaways?
Well, my biggest takeaway was how good Ronda was. She shocked the hell out of me, to be honest. I didn't think she'd be ready to go like that, and she was awesome.
Rousey was great.
I'm glad you guys kind of segued. Oh, sorry. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, being live in that match, being live for that match, there were a ton of people that booed her out the gate because it's, Ronda's here, this is stupid, this is dumb, and those same people by the end of the match were flipping their shit.
It was this weird thing where, like, she came out and her music hit, and the crowd reacted really positively to her, but then, like, before the match even started, there was a bunch of people being like, you suck, this is stupid, and it's just like, you know, guys, you've never seen her work.
Right.
So as dumb as you sound when you chant this is awesome before the bell, and you do.
Yeah.
You sound way dumber when you just like, again, this is like you've not gone to the movie and you wrote a bad review on Rotten Tomatoes. You know what I mean? Like, how do you know if Ronda Rousey sucks? You don't know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? She was great.
The girl next to me I don't know if you heard her or not.
Yeah.
Was booing from the second that Joan Jett's song hit to the second Ronda Rousey got in the ring, and then was standing and clapping and elbowed me and said that was really good after the match.
One of the best debuts in company history.
Yeah.
Alex, what do you expect is next in WWE? Shinsuke Nakamura has turned heel. Brock Lesnar's still the champion. A lot went down tonight, not to mention the fact that The Undertaker came back. So, Alex, what are you excited for now? Is, you know, Liam always says that WrestleMania usually feels like a season finale. What do you think of the next season of WWE?
Yeah, I'm glad you guys kind of segued it for me, because I was calling about what's best for Brock, and now, you know, you have like Samoa Joe returning, but we've seen that Strowman is the tag team champion with the 10-year-old. I don't know, you got like rumors of, you know, Cass or Lashley potentially coming back, but I think finally that Balor lost tonight, we might get him versus Lesnar, really, maybe even as soon as tomorrow.
Alex, thanks so much for giving us a call, bud. We're going to talk all about it, and you're welcome here anytime. 508-202-1624, 508-202-1NAI. Let's talk about it.
Yes.
Let's talk about...
That's the thing I'm probably most excited about looking forward.
I really do believe that we have a new Universal Champion tomorrow night.
Yeah.
I absolutely believe that Brock Lesnar either relinquishes his title and claims to have no competition. If you think that that's going to be detrimental to the title and your Raw roster, then... have Finn Balor beat him.
Correct, because Finn Balor needs to reclaim the title he's never lost, and he has yet to have a one-on-one opportunity for that title.
And you want to talk about making a star.
Yeah.
He just got a win that Roman Reigns didn't.
Couldn't get.
That is
and he
like,
did it on Raw.
That's like if we gave, and I know this is a weird example, that's like if we gave Randy Savage a win we were afraid to give Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
You know what
right.
I mean? You're a big deal if you beat Brock Lesnar.
Right.
After tonight,
right.
You're a big deal if you beat Brock Lesnar, man. I'm telling you, the last guy to pin Goldberg in like last 3 or 4 years, 5 years, the last guy to pin Brock Lesnar in the last like 5 years is Bill Goldberg.
I know.
Holy crap, you're on.
Yeah.
You're
and the guy that beat the last two people to beat, or three people to beat Brock Lesnar are Bill Goldberg, The Undertaker, and Triple H.
Yeah, and The Undertaker had to cheat.
Yes.
Because if you rewatch the match, he lost. He lost, and he had to cheat.
Yes.
That's how much we've protected Brock Lesnar and everything that he is. And one day we'll reflect on Lesnar's career. I'm not here to put over Brock. I'm a huge Lesnar fan. I'm not here to crap on who you like and put over who you might not. I'm just trying to cut this thing as facts because it was – I can't believe Lesnar won.
Right. But to kind of expand on the Finn Balor thing – that was always the right story.
Right.
The story of Finn Balor being the guy to slay the beast, the demon coming and slaying the beast to reclaim a title he never lost, that's the story. Everybody's on board. Everybody loves Finn Balor. And if you put him in that position, people are going to be on board far more than people were on Roman Reigns. And tonight, the crowd showed that.
We got a call on the line. We're going to take it. But I got to ask you real quick, because it's a train of thought kind of thing.
Yeah, sure.
We spent a year getting to a conclusion we didn't actually reach.
Yeah.
Do you feel differently about Brock Lesnar's Universal title reign, seeing as how, at the very least, now, here's something to be fair. Roman Reigns might beat him tomorrow, because the last time I remember specifically Roman Reigns losing on a big title match on a pay-per-view.
And then won it on Raw.
Won his first title the next night. There is a chance. We keep talking about Finn Balor like this is a certainty. Maybe Roman Reigns does it tomorrow.
Yes,
I don't expect that, because why the hell didn't we do it tonight?
Right. Right.
But Brock Lesnar was supposed to be this champion for a year to get to this moment.
Yep.
We didn't do it. What do you think about that?
I retroactively, and this is why I always tell people to kind of take a breather when stories start.
Sure.
And this is the reason, because I kicked and screamed all year about this because I thought I knew the conclusion.
Yep.
And the conclusion was not the end to the story that I thought it was.
Yep.
And now, because of the ending we got, that Brock Lesnar year was awesome.
Awesome. His match with Samoa Joe
was
awesome. Four corners match. Awesome. We had a champion versus champion gimmick pay-per-view. He and AJ, match of the night. Awesome.
Right.
Brock Lesnar is awesome.
Right. Because tonight proved that Brock is still awesome. And it wasn't, we gotta anoint the prince.
No one, people ask me all the time, what is it like Jamie? Jamie doesn't get it. Jamie doesn't get Brock Lesnar. And my answer would be, first of all, I understand if you don't.
Yeah, because I would also categorize myself as not a Brock Lesnar guy. It's not 2004 anymore,
you're right.
And I am over the Brock Lesnar experience.
Okay.
But I understand.
Here's my answer to that.
Yeah.
Even Braun Strowman, I'm including him.
Yeah.
No one else in wrestling could do what Brock Lesnar did tonight, which was decimate a top guy, have you believe it, and not be shocked right. because Brock won, because it's Roman is better. You're shocked because this is the anointed one who right. didn't get a scripted victory. But Brock Lesnar, what he did to John Cena, the program he put on with Bill Goldberg, what he did tonight, even Strowman couldn't, because he, again, I know, but he walks in that ring as a collegiate champion, a UFC fighter, a UFC champion.
It's more.
He brings a legitimacy that no one ever will again.
It's not even necessarily that. And I'll say this and then we'll take the call. It's not that. The thing that Brock Lesnar brings is the fact that he could leave at any moment.
Yep.
And that's the believable thing, because people have come in with resumes of, I'm a former collegiate athlete, I'm an Olympic,
like Dolph
Ziggler. You know what I mean? But still, people come in with those all the time. And so that's not necessarily unique. What's unique is this guy has proven that I'll be the best person in the company and I'll leave.
Right.
I don't care.
Exactly. And that's what made tonight so shocking.
And that's what Brock Lesnar brings.
When we were leaving, interesting note, we're about to take the call. Interesting note is, we saw, did you see them, what they were doing at the building when we left?
The fireworks?
Yeah, well, that, but they, like, the construction crew?
No.
Literally taking the letters S-U-P-E-R and replacing them with L-E-S-N-A-R, because that's the Lesnar Dome, baby.
Geez.
508-202-1624.
That was stupid.
He wasn't going to beat The Undertaker, right?
Terrible joke.
And he wasn't going to beat Roman Reigns.
Yeah, we got to put you in joke jail.
508-202-1624.
Justin in South Carolina gave us a call. What's up, Justin?
What's up, buddy? What did you think was your big takeaway? Obviously, we're talking a lot about Brock and Roman Reigns, but what do you think would be the other memories of this show? What do you think about Daniel Bryan's return? I mean, we could talk all about Brock if you want, but we're always happy to talk about things other than Brock Lesnar.
I mean, Daniel Bryan, like, he hasn't missed a beat in 2 years. But my biggest, like, question, aside from the Lesnar decision, is this, like, are we getting ready to say goodbye to John Cena? Because he got demolished tonight. I mean, he hasn't won a match, it seems like, in forever. He lost to Roman, he lost that Survivor Series, the Rumble, Fastlane, and now he lost to The Undertaker in under 3 minutes, which is crazy. It's like John Cena losing in 3 minutes at WrestleMania seemed impossible.
Yeah, but last time we did this, it was the worst year of John Cena's life, and he beat The Rock at the end of it to win the WWE Championship.
Justin, but you bring up a great point, and I understand what you're saying, because it's like, look, do I think it's the end of John Cena? No. We've talked a lot about this on the air and with Patreons. We're in this weird limbo because John Cena is working in the company and with his replacement on staff, you know what I mean, which you've never seen. Like,
right.
In theory, when Hogan left, we waited to find the next, for the guy to emerge. Bret Hart. We waited for Bret to kind of emerge, right? Now, don't get me wrong. Bret was main eventing with Yokozuna when Hogan left. But at the same time, Bret wasn't what Bret the Hitman Hart would become in 1993. And so we kind of let it happen, right? When Stone Cold Steve Austin left in 2002, John Cena didn't become the top guy till 2005. We figured it out. We let it happen.
Yeah, right.
Right? With Roman Reigns, this is the top guy. This is the next one, but John Cena is still here.
Right.
And so I know it's weird, but I think John Cena is still going to be in this company in the next 2 years. So I don't think he's out the door. But Justin brings up a great topic that we haven't covered yet, so let's get to it. The Undertaker came back tonight. I don't know, maybe it's because I was there and maybe because I'm a dork, but I thought that was amazing.
Fantastic.
That was amazing. Yeah. And I wasn't even excited, because if you told me when I walked in the building that we'd get The Undertaker but he'd be spooky dead guy, I would have been pessimistic because I don't understand it. But guess what they did? They metaphorically shoved
the whole thing.
They shoved all those jacket complaints I've had for a year right up my ass because they acknowledged it.
Right.
They showed the jacket. They hit it with lightning. In theory, the story, the kayfabe is The Undertaker's haunted coat came back, got hit by lightning, and turned into him.
So here's the thing. I said, and people in the Patreon brought it up, so I do need to address this, that I would boo The Undertaker if he came back tonight from bell to bell, right? And I didn't. I didn't, and I enjoyed myself. And the reason I did for both of those things is that they put a level of effort into The Undertaker. That they haven't in years.
Since maybe Punk with the Paul Bearer story.
Right. I tweeted it out, and when you first saw The Undertaker, when you first saw him, it looked like it was the retro, like somebody unlocked retro Undertaker.
Right.
In the video game.
Did he just take a bath in HGH?
Right. And that's what I'm talking about, because he looked old last year.
Uh-huh.
He looked cryptic old, right? And it was just, okay, so he ends up doing the jacket, putting the jacket, kissing his wife and leaving. So he retired, right? And it's kind of the analogy I'm going to use is like a gunslinger, right? He's an old gunslinger if in the Wild West, and he hung up his guns on the wall.
Yep.
And he's like, I'm never going to pick up these guns again.
Sure.
But then something happens. Some raiders raid his land, and he's got to take those guns off the wall.
Yeah, he's a raider. Somebody calls him a bitch on TV for 3 weeks.
Right. And so that's what happened. That's what we got. He took the coat, put it in the ring, and struck it with lightning to be like, no, you know what? You're right. I'm not retired.
Right.
And that's, you're exactly right, because But
you're fair to bring up effort.
Yes.
We weren't expecting effort.
No.
You know why? Because we haven't got it.
Right.
In years.
The long black hair. Yeah, of course it was extensions. But the fact that he had long black hair and a black goatee, and he just looked evil.
Looked like the guy at WrestleMania 25 that took on Shawn Michaels in an all-time classic.
Correct.
Unbelievable. Justin, really quick, one-word answer before we let you go, and thank you for bringing up this topic, buddy. We do love you. One-word answer.
Huh.
You talked about John Cena and his out the door, so let me ask you this. One-word answer. Was tonight the Undertaker's last match?
No, I don't think so, because as soon as the match ended, Michael Cole screamed at the top of his lungs, "The Undertaker is back," so I don't think he's done.
Justin, you're the man. We'll talk to you real soon. Thanks for giving us a call, buddy. 508-202-1624, 508-202-1624. I want to talk about The Undertaker a little bit more before
we
just
go. Yeah, of course. Just to touch back on the effort thing, it was 100% effort. This type of effort I hadn't seen since, I think you're right, CM Punk. CM Punk at WrestleMania 29 was the last time we saw this effort, because The Undertaker looked old against Brock Lesnar, and then the match was terrible. Bray Wyatt, we were expecting so much from the return of the dead man after the loss of his streak, and we didn't get anything.
What we vilify WWE for with Bray Wyatt more than anything else is this guy goes, I'm a magic man, I'm a magic man.
Yeah.
And then his magic is a projection of maggots on a screen. And then the biggest thing is he never wins. He goes, I'm spooky, I'm magic. And then, your magic is terrible. You know what I mean? The Undertaker, and again, I understand it's pro wrestling in 2018, right?
Right, right?
Where there's a lot of peaks behind the curtain and people might not be looking for overly silly. However, The Undertaker is, with all due respect, the epitome of silly.
Oh, absolutely. He's known as a zombie priest.
And so on a scale from 1 to 10, we always have to be at a 20 for him to work.
Right.
And shooting indoor lightning bolts and in theory, having a lightning bolt hit a coat and that makes him return from the dead.
Yeah.
That's The Undertaker.
Yeah, right.
And I love it.
Right. And again, I go back to, I didn't boo because I was so on board from the entire segment, because John Cena being in the crowd at the beginning of the show.
So good.
And him watching the show to the ref coming out and being like, hey, I don't know what he said, and I don't know if they said it on the broadcast, but we just got shown a video of John Cena and then John Cena.
Must have been like, he's here.
Yeah, and then John Cena popping the barricade and taking off to get him into clothes. Then he starts to leave, then leaves. Elias shows up. He wrestles Elias, and you think it's over. You think it's over, and that's when the dead man shows up. And it was like, oh, this segment was well thought out. It was well executed. You put effort, time behind all of this.
They didn't, and you know what they didn't do, which was great too? John Cena didn't call him a bitch again. You know what I mean? John Cena did not call him a bitch on TV again.
Yes.
And be like, oh, I guess you are a chicken and all that bullshit.
Right.
It's just like, you know, it's... He just came out, and you knew he wanted him. It was on the poster. If you watched the television show, you knew what we were looking at. And we got swerved with the Drifter, and then this guy comes out, and it was perfect. Now, let's talk about the fact that it was 2.5 minutes. Hear me out. Undertaker is, 52 years old with all sorts of replaced everything? All you really wanted from a guy at this phase of his physical health is the hits. You got old school.
Yep.
You got a tombstone. You got the tongue out pin thing.
Nice leg drop.
I'm not trying to be Vince McMahon here. You didn't actually want more than that.
No.
No.
You wanted the entrance.
It was perfect.
And the hits.
Right.
And that's what he gave you. And the point here was The Undertaker, John Cena spent a month going, "You're a bitch." And the right. Undertaker went,
"Like hell I am."
The Undertaker went, "Oh, I'm going to murder you."
Yeah, right.
And if it was competitive, you would have said they made the Undertaker look weak because he barely squeaked one out. No. No. Again, we're talking about the lightning bolts and the character.
Right.
The character got called a bitch on TV so many times. He goes, "I know where you're going to be April 8th. I know." And then the character came back and whooped ass.
Yeah.
And
a character that we associate with ass whoopings.
We have rejuvenated The Undertaker's image.
Right.
I mean, the last couple of years have been brutal for it.
Right.
A bad match, losing to Brock, a bad match with Wyatt, a bad match with Shane, losing in a bad match to Roman Reigns. This was all The Undertaker. This is the greatest hits album.
Yeah.
In a live concert.
Right.
Unbelievable. I loved it. I thought it was great. Now, let me ask you the same question I asked Justin. Is this his last match? Was that it?
So, you know, I go back, I've gone back and forth 15 times since it happened. Part of me says yes, because this is the way to retire, send off the character, right? I think that he's happy with it. All the fans are happy with it. It's kind of like the Goldberg thing, right? Where it's like, hey, I need to come back and wrestle Lesnar because I just need to do it for me.
Wrap up all those loose
ends. Right. And so then that turned into the title victory that ended up with the WrestleMania match last year. And Goldberg is at peace with it because we wrapped it up in a nice bow, and his image with the fans is wrapped up in a nice bow. And that's how I feel about The Undertaker, where it's like, look, here's the deal. Wrap this up. This was great. I enjoyed it. You enjoyed it. It looked great. It was fun, and it was memorable with John Cena. If I never see you again, great.
If the alternative is a retirement match at WrestleMania 35 where I got to pretend I care for a year, where The Undertaker shows up three times.
Right.
We're talking about part-time Brock.
Yeah, no thank you.
He'll show up three times, and then we'll have a 15-minute match that won't be good. Because, again, The Undertaker, I think the match somebody tweeted me was 2 minutes and 46 seconds. Because guess what The Undertaker had in the tank? About 2 minutes and 46 seconds.
Yeah.
This was perfect. Goodbye. I love you. Thank you.
Also, here's the thing. Maybe I just want this for 2 or 3 more years.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Where, hey, Undertaker, you come out and you whoop ass.
Right some wrongs.
Yeah, you just whoop ass for 2 minutes.
508-202-1624. 508-202-1NAI. We are taking your calls for a reason. If you want to give us a shout about anything that went down WrestleMania night, really weekend, but definitely during WrestleMania 34, we want to talk to you. Let's talk about one of the other championship matches that we haven't got to yet. AJ Styles versus Shinsuke Nakamura. I've got kind of 2 questions for you.
Okay.
What'd you think of the match? And then obviously, what'd you think about what happened after the match?
Okay, so this is the thing that I brought up before WrestleMania. Everybody heard the name Shinsuke Nakamura and AJ Styles and thought that it was going to be some indie spot fest. And I was like, guys, this is going to be, I don't know if you watched the first one, but this, they're going to kick the crap out of each other.
Yep.
And it's going to be slow and methodical because that's how Japanese matches are.
Uh-huh.
And then it was slow and methodical, and they kicked the crap out of each other.
Correct.
I enjoyed it.
I liked it.
I enjoy Japanese wrestling.
Right.
But there were people that were clearly the classic WWE fans in our section that were screaming things like, pick up the pace.
Oh, my God.
And it's just like,
I'm so glad that kid didn't get most of his favorites to win. Go ahead.
But that's the type of thing where it's like, if you knew what you were getting, which I was one of them. I enjoyed that match because it was exactly what I expected, and I had watched it before.
AJ Styles is not Will Ospreay, and Shinsuke Nakamura is not Okada.
Everybody hears Shinsuke Nakamura, and they assume that he's AJ Styles.
Right, he's like Kota Ibushi.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? No, he's an ass whooper.
Yeah, he is a methodical ass. Like, he is basically an MMA fighter.
Exactly.
That's basically what he is.
Absolutely.
I'm going to knee you in the face, I'm going to elbow you in the face, I'm going to forearm you in the face, I'm going to run and throw my knee in your face, and I'm going to put you in an arm bar and make your arm break.
Strong style is basically like, I work stiff and I'm proud of it.
Yes.
That's what it is.
That is. That is exactly what it is.
You know what I mean?
And so so people that watched AJ Styles back in the day that kind of know who he is from TNA know him as a high-flying cruiserweight. Well, when he was the IWGP heavyweight champion, he was far more methodical, a far heavier striker, and he is a little bit of a hybrid of the two in WWE, yep. But he worked far closer to the style that you saw tonight against Shinsuke Nakamura. Again, I loved it, but I love Japanese matches.
I loved the finish. What an awesome roll. Like, yes. Nakamura got him, and they did this barrel roll together, and they picked him up and just got him.
Right. The other thing.
Because one finishing move ended the match.
The other thing that, The other thing that I said to TK when I looked at him, I was like, Japanese matches are like 25 minutes. Like, they are so long. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, if this is going to be the type of match that everybody wants it to be, are they going to give him 25 minutes? No.
I don't think it was, and you know, I don't want to be a dick. I don't think it was all it could be, but I certainly certainly don't think it was bad. And I'm seeing a lot of people that were like, "What a huge letdown." I would meet you in the middle. Letdown, I guess, is technically the correct phrase because I thought it would be better, and so semantically, sure, it technically is a letdown. But like, letdown to me is like, again,
Kevin Owens versus Y2J.
Yeah, I got let down by Kevin Owens versus Y2J. I got let down. Brock Lesnar versus Dean Ambrose. That was a letdown.
Right.
You know what I mean? This was fine.
No. I think that fans, for the most part, and they saw the names on the marquee, they fantasy booked what this match was going to be.
Never watched their Intercontinental title match.
Never watched their IWGP Intercontinental title match. So they didn't, like, because, again, like everything in Japan, if out of 10 people, 7 say that they watch New Japan, and 3 actually do.
Exactly.
You know?
With the match, though, itself, like, with, you know, AJ Styles, I thought it was just fine. Again, I don't know if it was all that it could be, but you know, here's what I think happened. I think what happened I was texting with Issa at WWE Demon Diva, and Issa's awesome. And I've been texting with her because she's a huge Brock Lesnar fan. She knows I'm a huge Brock Lesnar fan. We've been talking about it. I think what happened was the crowd, because she goes, was the crowd as dead as it sounded at home? Jamie texted me. He goes, is the crowd as dead as it sounded at home?
Yep.
Here's what I believe happened. I believe we got a graphic on the screen.
And everybody deflated.
And everybody went, oh, Roman's on last again.
That's exactly what happened.
That is exactly what happened, yeah.
And let me say this. With all due respect and love in the world, you are a crazy person if you didn't think that anything but The Undertaker would beat Roman on going on last.
No.
And
right. Styles and Nakamura had no chance of going last.
And guess what? If Reigns and Lesnar went on third to last, there would have been everybody in the room buzzing about hope.
Right.
For Brock, if you hated Reigns.
Right.
And then it would have been still surprising, but I don't think jaw-droppingly shocking.
Right.
Yeah.
And so they did this thing the right way. And again, quite frankly, if you're let down by AJ and Nakamura, then blame them. They got the match.
Right.
They were booked.
Right. Well, and then again, I go with the fact that they had to also work their match a certain way because Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns was working their match a certain way.
Yep.
They basically did the same thing, right? In terms of, I'm going to kick your ass. No, I'm going to kick your ass. And then Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns worked at a much faster pace. And I think if I sat there and told you right before those three matches, right, that Brock is going to beat Roman, then everybody would have been into Shinsuke Nakamura and AJ Styles. You would have been able to appreciate it for what it was, and with not having the burden of thinking like, oh, Roman Reigns.
Goldberg at the Hall of Fame says, my spear was so good I got copied by Roman Reigns. Paul Heyman at the Hall of Fame says, I needed to bring a guy in to beat Brock Lesnar that you'd believe, and that sure as hell isn't Roman Reigns. A couple other guys took shots during the Hall of Fame at Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns was 70, like Brock, the match was 70-30 Lesnar.
Yeah.
To get busted open, F5'd to the moon, and lose. What's going on with Roman Reigns?
You know what? I think that the tides,
just trying to get you to like him and trick you into giving him sympathy.
No, it can't be, because this isn't the kick Roman Reigns in the nuts tour, right? We're beyond that, and it's WWE's fault, because every single time the tide starts to turn with Roman Reigns, they throw the thing to like 1,000 and they're like, all right, you like Roman Reigns now, yay. And right. It's just like,
yeah, he'll get like a one, like he'll win the WWE like title, and that one crowd will be like, you know what, okay man, you won the title, good for you. And then WWE goes, oh, so you want us to build an entire Royal Rumble around him and him being the champion and change the entire gimmick of the thing, the pay-per-view you like the most,
right?
And it's like, what? Holy crap, I'll never admit I like him again.
Right. You know? And that's the type of stuff that ended up getting us into the situation we are in now.
Yep.
Right? I think that there are enough people on this roster that are here now that they're like, fine, we'll give it a go with them and see. You know? And we'll see what happens. You know, tomorrow's another day.
So the only man to main event 5 WrestleManias in a row is Hulk Hogan. Will there be 2 men next year?
Yeah.
You think so?
I think somebody.
So then anything that happened tonight can't be of that great a consequence if you think in 365 days he's still back.
Oh, no, I know. Sorry. Then I misunderstood the question. So, no, Roman Reigns is not in the main event.
Okay. So this time next year, he does not join Hulk Hogan as the first man, as the second man to main event 5 in a row.
Yes, I don't think that's going to happen.
I think it's less likely than not right now. Again, I am not an idiot. I do not believe this man's career is over. He's got many championships.
No, he's
going to
do something prominent. Here's the thing. He will technically main event 5 straight WrestleManias. He will not go on last.
His character, although not exactly the same as John Cena. Duh. Okay, right. Not exactly the same. In fact, character-wise, they're not that similar. It's their matches that look the same. But when we had John Cena, Captain Invincible, right? Like the most unbelievable man that ever unbelievable, right? And then The Rock beat him.
Yeah.
And he took it real hard, and he got it back. It took a year, but he got it back, right?
Yep.
So at the end of the day, Cena's number one.
We kind of saw it with The Undertaker, too.
Yeah, right, exactly. So at the end of the day, Cena's number one, right? The Undertaker, redemption. I'm number one, right?
Right.
This whole time. Roman Reigns foreseeably can't get it back from Brock Lesnar. Foreseeably.
Right.
If he doesn't win the championship in the next 24 hours, I don't think he's winning it from Brock.
Correct.
So what does this do for the character when he's supposed to be a guy that you knew he was going to kick out of that fifth F5? So what does that do for a guy that's been booked to be not unstoppable, but in the biggest matches possible, he almost always wins? What does Roman Reigns come out and say on tomorrow night's Raw?
I think that we need to see a character shift. I think that that's part of the big issue with Roman Reigns is Roman Reigns never changed, right? He's never changed from his time in the Shield.
And grew.
You look at Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins looked like a king from... Seth Rollins looked like a king from Game of Thrones.
A White Walker.
He wore the white eye, like the blue, like a White Walker, right? So he looked like a character from Game of Thrones. And he's reinvented himself as the Kingslayer, and he's changed, and he was the architect, and he's done all these things. Dean Ambrose kind of, you know, for better or for worse, take it what you will, people do enjoy his work, but
yeah, sure.
But he's led into this lunatic gimmick where he's kind of this like weird, crazy James Dean kind of person, and
yeah, right.
Like that's kind of the way I would describe the character.
You're not wrong.
You know?
You're not wrong.
And again, it is what it is, right? Roman Reigns was strong and silent and wore a flak jacket to Roman Reigns is strong and silent, says he's the big dog, and has RR on his flak jacket now.
Yep.
That's the difference.
Yep.
There's no... I haven't actually learned anything about the character of Roman Reigns since the breakup of the Shield.
Yep. So, and you're right, because what we learned about Seth Rollins, and again, because it doesn't have to get beaten over your head if you do it right, what we learned about Seth Rollins in one calendar year was that he is not to be trusted, and at the end of the day, a sneaky opportunist.
Correct.
Triple H makes him an offer, he takes it, right? Yep. Sees his spot at WrestleMania 31,
he
runs
takes
and
it.
Steals it, right? So don't be trusting Seth Rollins,
right?
I learned that about him. In the back of your mind, you keep that in mind about him, right? I learned that one of his biggest goals is to take out Triple H and be known as like the King of the Mountain or whatever.
Right.
We haven't done a ton with that since last year's Mania, whatever, whatever. You're right. Dean Ambrose, again, I'm a crazy person.
Well,
you don't show it well. But
it's not necessarily like the hot dog cart is a big one for him, but he's that type of weird kind of unorthodox person.
Right.
And we get new layers to the character, Mitch the plant. Yeah, you know,
worst thing to ever happen. It's a topic for another day, but the worst thing to ever happen to him is Matt Hardy, because Matt Hardy's playing a crazy person on TV.
And he's way better at it.
And Dean Ambrose has never done anything close.
Right.
But yeah, when it comes to Roman Reigns, you're right. It's like, in theory, this is the guy that everybody, including me, was just like, okay, tomorrow he goes on Raw and brags again, has the title, I'm the man, right. we get this thing going. I don't know what the character has to say. He got his ass kicked.
Right.
You know, you don't really, I mean, well, I can only speak personally, you don't really dwell on it because we spent 99% of the thing expecting him to just wind up overcoming anyway, but he got his ass whooped right. tonight.
Never, and none of the things that Roman Reigns has ever said make a lot of character development sense, yep. right? I'm not a good guy. I'm not a bad guy. I'm the guy.
Yep.
It's like, well, what does that mean? What do you mean by that?
Yeah, means right. I'm going to win, so suck it.
Right. And that's not a character thing.
Right.
This
isn't a company that does baby and heel. So who the hell are you?
Right. And then he comes out and he beats The Undertaker. And what did he say last year? He said he just stood there and got booed.
It's my yard now.
It's my yard now.
Drop the mic.
And you know what I mean? And it's just like, that's not a character thing.
You're the bad guy.
Yeah.
You just beat a beloved character and are bragging about it. You're the bad guy, man.
Yeah.
And I hate the internet thing where people who are wrong, by the way, that tweet me and go, they don't care if you boo. They don't care if you cheer. They just want you to make noise. Incorrect, because they slot these guys. You know, again, there's baby faces and heels. You were supposed to be sad for Roman Reigns tonight because he's the babyface.
Right.
This company does care if you boo or cheer. They're desperately, desperately trying to get you to cheer him to the point where I think that's why he lost tonight.
Right.
Because they're just like, all right, what if we get you to, what if we, you know, like I've said this, I've used this example with you before on the air. You know a friend that if they think that they're the shit, right, you kind of internally want to knock them down a peg,
right.
you know what I mean, just
right.
subconsciously.
Yep.
Meanwhile, if you have a friend that's like, yeah, I know, I suck, I'm such an idiot, I'm all my, and then you're like,
you mean Chip?
Right, there you go. But you know what I mean? But if a guy walking around being like, yeah, I'm so stupid, then your instinct is actually to go, look, man, you're not so bad. Like, come
yeah,
on,
right.
you know what I mean? And then that's what I think we're supposed to be doing with Roman Reigns right now, where it's just like, he got his ass whooped. He didn't win.
Right.
And I think they want you to go like, oh, man, you know what, Roman?
You're not so bad.
Great effort. And at least you're not a part-timer, which means so much to this generation of fans. It blows me away.
Well, the funniest part about that really kills me, because, look, I would prefer full-time performers over part-time performers. And what I mean by that is the crop of people, much like The Undertaker, right, that just show up for WrestleMania.
Yeah.
I could, if The Undertaker, I'm still in that camp. If The Undertaker never shows up again, I'm okay.
Same.
Right? I don't need Brock Lesnar. Like, I would like Brock Lesnar to show up more. I don't need Brock Lesnar to show up every night. You know what I mean? Like, I would like you to show up at least at every other pay-per-view. And from SummerSlam to WrestleMania, I think he did a good job of that.
Yep.
But you know, in years past, he hasn't. So I think that the part-time thing is dumb. It's even more dumb when you're like, oh, you're a stupid part-timer, and then cheer for CM Punk.
I yelled at our section of the audience because they go, part-timer, loser, part-timer, just go back to UFC. And then they started chanting CM Punk. So in theory, working every once in a while, bad. Quitting.
Yeah,
good.
Quitting. He didn't get fired.
What a joke. You guys got to get the hell over CM Punk, the most overrated pro wrestler in the history of the business. There, I said it. Unbelievable. If you're listening live, or if it's your Monday or your Tuesday, the poll is still up. You can vote. It's only been up for about an hour, and we already have 700 and plus votes on the poll. Right now, the average fan would give WrestleMania a B at 50%. So half the crowd would give this one a B, and 75% of the crowd would give it an A or a B. Only 5% said it failed. I have absolutely no idea what you expected if you think this WrestleMania failed. I guarantee you we just heard from a shitload of Roman Reigns diehards who clicked F. I'm serious. What are you? We have a call on the line. We'll take the last call, and then we'll wrap up this show. And thank you guys so much for joining us live after WrestleMania. Bill, who we got?
We got Mike in Boston. Give us a call. What's up, Mike?
What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, yep, we got you. Great.
Really fun show. I give the show a solid B+. I mean, there was nothing objectively bad on this Mania whatsoever. It just was too long. I mean, yeah. 5 hours plus the pre-show, that's a chore to get through.
You're right. And, Mike, as an audience member, you're asking the crowd to stay up for 7 hours.
Yeah.
And
right.
That's a lot, man.
You could fly from Boston to Los Angeles.
Yeah, that's a lot, man. It's a lot to ask people ready to cheer at 10:40 when we've been cheering since 3 in the afternoon. You know what I mean? Right. You're asking a lot. Mike,
that first hour you had, I mean, that triple threat match was incredible, and I think that's getting overlooked right now just because, A, it seems like just yesterday that Seth Rollins won the IC title, but that crowd was hot for that, and it was a fantastic match. And then I think Charlotte and Asuka set a new standard for the women's division, finally replacing what Bayley and Sasha Banks did a few years ago at NXT TakeOver. I mean, I was shocked. I guess New Orleans is where streaks go to die. I was stunned by that outcome, but it was a phenomenal match from start to finish.
Mike, go ahead.
You run the risk of burning that crowd out with two matches that hot in the first hour.
Agreed. And I do think there was a noticeable shift in the audience from half one to half two.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
And also, quite frankly, I noticed a drop in the match quality from half one to half two.
Yeah,
for being honest with you. But I still think it was an outstanding Mania. Mike, thanks so much for giving us a call, brother. Is it still snowing in Boston?
Thanks, guys.
We'll figure it out. I'll check the weather. So as we wrap things up.
That's also a yes.
Yeah,
he didn't want to break our heart. He didn't want to break our heart.
Going back to snow. It's spring.
Sorry, we won't be there till Tuesday.
It's supposed to be spring. Let me ask, this will be the final topic as we wrap things up and get our final closing thoughts on WrestleMania 34 because we haven't spent a ton of time on it and it's worth doing. Asuka walks into this match undefeated. Charlotte, we talked about in the pre-show at the Connors QR tailgate. Charlotte had a rare opportunity to be a champion with something to win.
Yeah.
She could not only lose her title, she could win something, and she did. Asuka's streak is over. Where will it go? How do we reflect on Asuka's streak? The fact that Charlotte won. Just what do you think about what happened for the SmackDown women's title?
It made Charlotte look like the more all-time performer that she already is.
Yep.
And it helps Asuka. This actually does help Asuka because having the burden of the undefeated streak and asking the question, is this when we see it end, changes the story to anything other than, can this be the person to beat Asuka?
Mm-hmm.
And that gets old, it gets boring, and it kind of pigeonholes you because you can't put her in fun things. You know, like Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens versus Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon is a fun thing, right on paper. I'm not talking about what actually
match
happened.
Bad.
Yeah, the match wasn't that great. But that, you know, that's a fun thing. And we just can't put her in it if she's undefeated.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I guarantee you that Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens were supposed to win that match. But then Daniel Bryan got cleared and they
can't.
They changed it. And now they can't.
Exactly.
You know, and so now if you booked that match and it was Asuka and Bayley versus Stephanie and Ronda Rousey or something, it's just like, well, yeah, Asuka can't lose.
Exactly. That is the issue. You're right. Is that we get to these points in time where it's just like, well, we protected this person for so much. I think it was perfect. I can't disagree with people more that tweeted us and said, so Asuka's entire NXT run was for nothing? What are you, insane?
Come on.
First of all, she was one of the highlights of that entire program for NXT for her entire tenure there. Second of all, guess what we did, guys? And I said this on the pre-show, and I'll say it again. In 5 years' time, Charlotte Flair, barring health, in 5 years' time, Charlotte Flair will be here. Asuka might. She might. Yeah,
she might.
She might.
Maybe.
But Charlotte will.
Correct.
Charlotte's going to win 16 titles. Charlotte's going to be branded by Vince McMahon himself and eventually Triple H as the greatest women's wrestler ever, period. Don't ask. There's no list. The end.
Yep.
That is the goal here. And so you need, that comes with wins.
Yeah, everything.
This was not exactly the same, but Andre the Giant can't be beaten.
Right.
Sure he can. I'm Hulk fucking Hogan.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
And that's what tonight was. Nobody's ready for Asuka. The hell they're not. I am.
Right.
And you took all that momentum. The last great wrestling streak that wasn't the Undertaker's at Mania was Goldberg's. And we look back and we go, oh my God, we did all that. We did 2 years to give it to Nash, to do give it to Hogan like that. We don't feel bad that Goldberg lost. We feel bad we didn't do anything.
Right, and I've talked about this before, and I'll quickly reiterate that story. The cattle prod is genius. The fact that the Outsiders used a cattle prod to take out Goldberg to win the championship is genius, because that's how you have to take that bulldozer of a man down, right? What makes it bad is the finger poke of doom that happens tomorrow night.
Totally.
Now, if Carmella just beats Charlotte on Tuesday for the women's title or something, that's stupid.
Right.
That's stupid, and we didn't do anything with it.
Right.
But
what we're going to do is we're going to put a huge, no pun intended, crown jewel in this chick's,
right,
you know, to give her a go. Yeah, I'm the best one here.
So you got a Goldberg Hall of Fame shirt. Right, and on the back of the shirt, it lists his accolades. And I'm assuming that all of the Hall of Fame shirts are like that.
It's a gimmick they do with some, I get what you're saying.
You know what I mean? Yep. So it's just like, he is a WCW United States champion, a WCW World Heavyweight Champion, a WWE World Heavyweight Champion, a WWE Universal Champion, and a 173-0 winning streak.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And so it's like, that's a part of the resume.
Right.
That's a part of the resume, is just like, broke Asuka's undefeated streak.
Yep. When we look...
Just as much as it's Asuka, whatever, 200 and whatever she was at.
Right. Like... I go back to WrestleMania 30, the last time we were in New Orleans, the last time WWE was in New Orleans for this show, right? Paul Heyman cut a promo that made us all go, huh? Because Paul Heyman goes, why the hell wouldn't Brock Lesnar beat The Undertaker? Brock Lesnar's 37. The Undertaker's 50. Brock Lesnar's a UFC fighter. The Undertaker's broken down. And you remember?
Yeah.
He goes, what was he going to do? How was he going to beat Brock? Magic? You know what I mean? It's like, oh, yeah, Brock would win that fight. You know what I mean?
Right.
And then you look and you go, and Brock Lesnar won, and then just goes, why wouldn't I? Well, that's what Charlotte is. Yeah, of course I won. It took a hell of an effort, everything I had in the tank, but I'm the best. And
I am the best.
I am the best. And what did we do? We gave all the 21 years worth of momentum to Brock, who has since won two world titles and decimated two top guys. Right? Yeah. So good. And now Charlotte will take that momentum and become the greatest women's wrestler of all time.
As she's now on her way for Rousey.
And anyone out there that was like, how come Carmella didn't cash in? What the hell are you talking about? Carmella? Yeah. What? We just gave Charlotte the biggest win we've got in the women's division.
I said it right before we went live. If Carmella was going to cash in, it was because Asuka won, and then Carmella breaks your heart by cheating Asuka out of her streak.
Right.
And not Charlotte beats Asuka, and now through weird transitive property, Carmella beats Charlotte, so she beat Asuka's streak.
And then, like 45 minutes after the match, people were like, there's still time for Carmella to cash in. What is she going to go in the middle of the ring? She's going to go in the middle of the ring and pull a Cena and go, I'd like my match, please. Like,
boiler room brawl?
That's not this character.
Why?
And also, guys, I'm sorry. It's just a matter of opinion. You like. Get over it with Carmella. She is okay. We have so many better women.
She's not even okay.
We have so many better women. I'm sorry if you find her attractive, and therefore, you know, go buy her gear if you're that into her. You know, you can give her used gear a good sniff. But like, there's absolutely no way that we should be booking Carmella to eat that victory and that momentum that Charlotte just got.
Yeah.
And needs and deserves.
Again, you either give her a big character heel moment of breaking Asuka's streak when Charlotte couldn't do it.
Yep.
Or you're not involved at all.
Right, exactly. Tonight was not the night for Carmella. No. And oh, by the way, Carmella is not Seth Rollins with this case that makes you go, when is it coming? This is flipping Carmella, guys.
Yeah.
I mean, pace yourself. You just watch an all-time women's match and the indoctrination informally
of the woman
of the best ever.
Yeah.
And that's what
she is, every bit the female version of her father.
We have now done all the groundwork with Charlotte. All we have to do is keep going. You know how like a guy, maybe a running back will just start, you know, balls of fire in his first 3 or 4 years. Like, you know, maybe it's baseball where it's like,
like a DeMarco Murray.
Sure. Well, the guy's like, you know, just a Manny Ramirez. Right. So I'll give you an example. You know, you have to be a baseball fan to understand, right? Manny Ramirez in 2004 had been in the league for about 6 or 7 years, right? If Manny Ramirez had retired in 2004, I don't think he would have got in the Hall of Fame. But what we all agreed was, all Manny has to do is just play pretty well for, you know, more years.
Yeah, right.
Because it's gonna happen.
Right.
You know what I mean?
That's what if he plays five more years.
Exactly. And stays close to this productive.
Right.
It's gonna happen. That's what Charlotte is. If Charlotte retired today, would she be considered the best women's wrestler ever? Probably not.
No.
But if she plays this close to this well and out the stretch,
right,
it's a no brainer.
Because here's the thing, everybody immediately wants to point to Trish. And
that's the best women's wrestler ever?
Yeah.
Boy.
And she's hands down way better.
Oh, way better. The best women's wrestler before Charlotte, I would have probably told you, was like something like Alundra Blaze or like, you know, Bull.
Yeah.
Like the Japanese wrestler. You know what I mean? Like I would have probably told you to be like Bull or something. Like, I don't know, but not Trish. God bless her. Final thoughts on WrestleMania 34. Shinsuke Nakamura is a heel. Charlotte has broken the streak. Brock Lesnar is renaming the Silverdome as we speak to the Lesnar Dome. Just what do you think about WrestleMania 34?
I thought this show was excellent. I'm disappointed in the fan base for the beginning of the Brock Lesnar match. I'll probably have different opinion on it after rewatching it, but being there, I was very disappointed in the way that the crowd just cannibalized itself.
Yeah.
I'm very disappointed in that. And
it's a Roman Reigns problem, man.
It is. It is. And
they couldn't even just be like, finally.
Right.
They couldn't even just be like, fine, you're not Brock.
And it wasn't the least bit surprising.
Right. It wasn't surprising at all. And I blame WWE because that's a WWE, like, okay, you're now being, like, just downright disrespectful to the fan base.
Correct.
By ignore, you knew that was going to happen.
You flip flop Reigns and Lesnar and Taker and Cena, and you have a whole different story.
Right. And the thing is they would have sat through that match, and if Brock Lesnar wins, you still would have gotten the shocked reaction that you wanted, but people weren't paying attention, so you didn't get the shocked reaction you wanted because people were worried about flipping beach balls.
I just thought about the third guy. So only three people in history have beaten The Undertaker one-on-one at WrestleMania. The Rock.
John Cena,
one-on-one at WrestleMania. The Rock, The Undertaker tonight, The Miz.
Yeah, that's
The Miz.
That's right.
It's just like lost in history, but that's who it is. Just a little quick trivia for you. The Undertaker became only the third man to ever pin John Cena in a one-on-one match at WrestleMania. Unbelievable. I thought that WrestleMania 34 was a huge, huge success.
This whole weekend.
Yeah, I'm so glad Brock Lesnar won. It has nothing to do with Roman Reigns. Quite frankly, it doesn't even have anything to do anything with Brock Lesnar. I didn't leave the building to Roman Reigns' theme and a bunch of people bitching for the first time in 4 years.
That's all it's about.
Awesome.
Right.
That's it.
Awesome. For the first time in 3 years. Rollins got the first one. Right? But first WrestleMania 32, 3, and now 4. I didn't have to walk out with that theme and everybody complaining.
Yep.
Now, to be fair, it was a quiet crowd that left that building.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And what I would recommend,
but it was shocked.
Right, exactly. And what I would recommend to WWE, in to your point, is if you were just going to have Lesnar win that way, he should have gone on third to last, and then the crowd would have been so jazzed and energetic one way or the other, they would have given a lot more to AJ and Nakamura.
Right, right, exactly. And I think that's what ends up happening. Everybody saw the AJ Nakamura match graphic and got so deflated that they didn't get invested in the story that the two of them were telling. And of AJ and Nakamura. So, it's underwhelming.
Yeah.
This isn't good.
AJ would have had to turn into Ricochet to save that thing. For the crowd.
For the crowd.
For the crowd.
For the crowd.
Yep.
But if I knew that it was over and I had to look forward to it, because that was it. It was the beginning of the end. The mentality of the fan base just got so deflated when Nakamura and AJ Styles started that it was like, because there's no way Braun Strowman is going on last to win the tag titles.
Right, exactly. Right.
I turned to Bill and I said, the only way that Braun Strowman goes on last with his tag team, his mystery tag team partner, is if it's flipping CM Punk.
It's two guys.
Hulk Hogan or CM Punk.
Two guys. And it would have been two guys that weren't there and weren't coming. Weren't. Stone Cold Steve Austin and The Rock. And they weren't there, and they weren't coming, and they weren't. Nice round numbers. Oh, somebody just voted to stop the nice round numbers. The poll that'll be up for the next several days, so make sure that you get a chance to get your voice out there and heard. With almost 800 votes and counting, the poll's only about an hour long, so we expect this poll to get a lot of hits and get a real fair example of what sample size of what people thought of WrestleMania 34. 24% would give it an A, 50% would give it a B, 20% would give it somewhere in the C or D range, and 6% are wrong and would give it an F. So 74% would rank this thing an A or a B. That makes it a successful WrestleMania, and I really do believe an all-timer. It's been an all-time weekend for us. It's been unbelievable to see you guys and hang out with you guys, have you be part of our weekend and we be part of yours. Thank you for all the support. Thank you to the Connors Cure Tailgate guys, to Gary Fonseca, to Ashante Jones, to everyone out there that came and had an open chair. Congratulations to Jedi for proposing to Emily, and she shocked us all and said yes.
Sorry, your night didn't end better.
So congratulations. Yeah, he's fine. congratulations to you guys, and thank you for just really what was an outstanding trip. We hope that you enjoyed the coverage. You know by now, I hope that our goal is to have you guys come out, have an excuse to come and hang out with friends and improve your WrestleMania experience. And if you can't make it out, we want to make sure that you feel like you took the trip with us, and we're right here all weekend long. We'd love your feedback. We'd love to know what you guys think. Thank you again. My name's Jason Maltov.
I'm Liam Streger.
And I'm Bill Neville.
And live from New Orleans, Louisiana, outside the Silver Dome, the New Age Insiders can be found on Twitter, at New Age Insiders, at Liam NAI, at Bill Neville NAI. Check out a Twitch, twitch.tv/NewAgeInsidersTV, NewAgeInsiders.com, YouTube, Patreon.com/NewAgeInsiders to represent all that great stuff that makes us what you make us, which is the premier place for WrestleMania fans to connect, discuss, and to be heard. We out. It's that feeling that just came.